It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
It's me, Ernest Hancock, from Phoenix, Arizona, the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And we're not afraid, but we are relatively concerned, and we have a lot of reasons to be. We got Kevin Trudeau on. He is in battle against the man, coming out swinging against the man, going to the media saying, hey, man, let's go ahead and just go straight to the peoples and let them know what's up. And that's what we're doing today. And one thing I wanted to ask you, Kevin, we have a story today, and we'll put it on their archive for this show, a story today on freedomsphoenix.com that says Microsoft and News Corp iWeb Pact. Microsoft has had discussions with News Corp, which is Murdoch, Fox News, and so on, over a plan that would involve the media company being paid to de-index its news websites from Google, setting the scene for a search engine battle that could offer a ray of light to the newspaper industry. The impetus for the discussions came from News Corp, owner of newspapers ranging from the Wall Street Journal of the U.S. to the Sun of the United Kingdom, said a person familiar with the situation who warned that talks were at an early stage. Now, this is what I'm seeing already happening here. In 2004, about, I think it was, I'm doing radio, and all of a sudden, you know, I got teenagers. I got four. I got estrogen, testosterone, just, you know, oozing all out of the pores of the wall of my house everywhere. I got all their friends over. I got all, I mean, it was, you know, I got, you know, volleyball players and my son's playing football and cheerleaders everywhere and so on. I mean, I got a dose. And I'll tell you what was welcome news, and it didn't surprise me. For the first time, we had kids were spending more time in front of the interactively on the internet than they were in front of television. And then immediately after the popularity of MySpace started going, where they're putting their picture on, their favorite movie, their pictures of their friends, their personal thoughts, or what's my favorite color, all that. Man, if I was NSA or CIA or some intelligence community, I'd be, thank you very much for doing my job for me. But they knew, they didn't care, whatever. I guess that might be a good attitude, but, you know, you gotta know the risk. But they put all this information on who buys MySpace, Rupert Murdoch, for $311 gazillion. It was like $360 million or something. So he buys MySpace. Now they're going after Google. Do you see Microsoft in coalition with News Corp a real competitor to Google? Are they in the same club, as eventually both of them are going to have into the same pool of information? What's going on there?
Well, at the end of the day, let me give an example of how this works. Imagine that you go to Las Vegas and you want to play poker. So you go over and there's a table with seven guys sitting there and there's an empty chair. Oh, I think I'll join this game. You sit down there with a couple thousand dollars, and after a few hours, you lose all your money and you leave. Well, how would you feel if you were to find out that all those other seven guys all are working together to take the money off the next sucker who sits in that chair? And at the end of the day, all they do is divvy up the winnings.
Well, who's the sucker here? I mean, is Microsoft, News Corp, and Google all sitting at the table with the open chair waiting on somebody?
Or is one of them? That's exactly right. The way it works is every major news network, CNN, NBC, Fox, they look like they're competitors. But what you're seeing, so that you think there's competition, is you're seeing an example of worldwide wrestling, where the two combatants come out and they're screaming at each other, I'm going to kill you, no, I'm going to kill you. And at the end of the day, it's an act. They go have a beer together because it's a show. Same thing with Democrats and Republicans. The power, the control, they'll do a lot of maneuvers to maximize dollars, and there may be a little bit of fighting back and forth, but at the end of the day, they're all on the same team trying to achieve the exact same objective.
Even if they have
the hearts and minds of those people that are involved.
Let's imagine, even if they get fined $100 million fine, that, yeah, and that's all theater because they're getting $120 million taken off their taxes or something.
Well, let me give you an example of this. Pfizer, one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, was just found, actually not found, they pled guilty to criminal fraud in misrepresenting their drugs. And they were forced to pay a $2.7 billion fine. Now, that wasn't on any news organization. It was the fourth time. That's one, two, three, four. Fourth time that Pfizer was found criminally involved in fraud and had to pay fines. This most recently was the biggest fine, $2.7 billion. But you know how much money they made because of their fraud? It was estimated they made over $10 billion. So who cares?
Yeah, no, it's accounting, you know, bean counters sitting there. Do we fix this car? Does it cost us more to fix it than to pay out for the people that burned in a fiery crash?
That's exactly right. And, you know, Ralph Nader wrote the book Unsafe and Any Speed, where he exposed Ford for the exploding Pinto and for the Corvair at Chevrolet, where the whistleblowers said that they physically sat in the meetings and heard the executives say, you know, let them die. Let the people die because we'll make more money handling the lawsuits. That'll be cheaper for us than doing a recall.
You know, and my thing as a libertarian, honestly, I wouldn't care as long as it came with a sticker or they told me, hey, man, you get rear-ended, this thing blows up, but it costs $2,000 less. Balance, okay. Give me that VW bug because it's not as crash-worthy, but gosh darn it, it's cheaper. I mean, let me make an informed decision. The problem is that whenever you have a popular automobile like the VW bug, a lot of people didn't know why it was still produced in Brazil and Europe and other places around the world that they were making this a popular car. It was cheap to make, but it wasn't as safe because it competed with the big three so much that they changed the parameters of what was legal to sell here. And they go, no, you can't have that here because it's not safe, as if they cared about safety. It's not about that. It's about controlling a market. I want the freedom to fly and die airlines if I want. You know, I mean, you know, they I get up on the tarmac, I go up the stairs, and they issued me my 9mm because I forgot mine. You know, give me the freedom to make my own decisions, but that's not what's going on. What goes on is that they are protected by government, by agencies, by all kinds of stuff to be able to lie to you. And when they get caught, they may have to pay some in, but they always get it on the back end because they got congressmen in their pocket. So, this whole thing is so backwards from the way it was promised us with the internet, with people being able to communicate one-on-one with each other. Things are changing, and I'll give you a perfect example we'll spend more time on in the next segment. We had a hacker go in and get the emails between scientists all over the world that were communicating on this climate change thing. And they go, they knew. And then it starts coming out. They take all these emails and they put them. We have a link on it on Freedom's Phoenix. I got one of my editors send it to me last night. Boom, right before I go to bed, I put that bad boy up because there is a database that they took all these emails that's searchable and they put it in there. Go find your own guy. Sure enough, they start looking for professors here at our universities here in Arizona and go, oh, this guy was part of it and this guy was part of it and this guy said this and here's his email. And the big bad guys are going, well, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So this is, does this surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. And I think you're accurately describing what the scene is here. It is all about control, and it is all about making sure that people are disinformed. It is about profits at any cost. And I'll give you an example. I have come out now with a new report called The Herpes Cure They Don't Want You to Know About. As you know, I've traveled to over 60 countries over the last 20 years. I interviewed over 5,000 healthcare practitioners and medical doctors, all who are curing diseases without drugs and surgery. And I found a cure for herpes. Every bit of research that I've reviewed, I've talked to hundreds of people, patients, that were tested positive for genital herpes, cold sores, or shingles that would repeatedly have breakouts. When they did the cure, all the breakouts stopped. The longest person had was breakout-free for over 12 years. And when they go to get a blood test, it shows negative for herpes. So there is a cure for herpes. It's inexpensive, and it's all natural. It is available in the U.S., but the drug companies don't want people to know about it. I'm actually giving that report away for free right now at my website, naturalcures.com.
You go to naturalcures.com. He's given a lot of stuff for free there. When we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Kevin Trudeau, my special guest, we're going to find out why he's giving it away for free. Putting a doinkin' in the eye of the man. Why would he do that? Well, we're going to find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, it's the same old song and dance. If you've been around paying attention for any amount of time, you've heard this before. Over and over and over and over and over. It's all about who gets to be in charge. Well, I vote I get to be in charge of me. I vote me. Can I be in charge of me? Thank you for playing. You don't get to be in charge of me. And but if you resist, you know, they come after you. And sometimes they want to fine you for just saying you resist. And that's what's happened to Kevin Trudeau, to the point now that he's fighting back in an interesting way. Free books. You know, tell me about that.
Well, the government's trying to stop the sale of my books, and I'm still in court with this. They're asking, you know, basically to have all my books banned and have me permanently banned from appearing on television, the Internet, or radio. It's a First Amendment issue, of course. Now, they're saying that, you know, I'm misleading the public about my books. Well, listen. My book was number one, Natural Cures, was number one for 26 weeks in a row on the New York Times bestseller list. The number one reason people bought the book was not because they saw me on television, was because a friend who read it recommended it. So obviously these are good books. Now, not everyone's going to like them, of course, but I think that they're very well popular and very well received. But right now, in order to throw it into the government's face, to explain to them and show them it's not about the money for me. It's about really educating and empowering people. I'm giving my books away. So they have to, people have to pay a shipping charge. But I just give the books away if they go to naturalcures.com. They can get the herpes cure. They can get natural cures, the weight loss cure, and more natural cures revealed. All the hardcover, brand-new updated editions, completely free of charge. So I hope people take advantage of it. Christmas is coming up. They're great, great gifts, obviously, to give away at the holiday time as well.
Well, if somebody's got herpes and they don't want to have herpes no more, I imagine they go give my free book and here's your $5-$10 shipping and handling, whatever. Thank you very much for playing. But the thing is that that's a danger to those that make lots of money on herpes treatments, don't you think?
Well, I've already been violently attacked on the herpes cure, but you can't deny the science. Now, the reason I can do this is a lot of people don't know that the Federal Food and Drug Administration passed a law which says only a drug can be used to treat, prevent, or cure a disease. So the person who sells the herpes cure does not call it the herpes cure. Because if they did, since it's all natural and it's not a drug, if they called it a cure for herpes or even said that you could use it to treat herpes, they'd go to jail for selling a drug without a license. So they can't tell people what it does.
Okay, wait. There is a rule, a prohibition, a government badge with a piece of paper that's embossed and a seal and a guy with a shiny badge and the always available gun that says you cannot have a treatment or even a cure for something unless it is a drug that has been approved by them.
Yeah, the rule in America says, quote, only a drug can be used to treat, prevent, or cure a disease. So a medical doctor cannot use vitamins or minerals or food or a homeopathic remedy. He can't use anything to treat a disease. And a person is breaking the law if they themselves use something that's not a drug. That's why this health care reform bill is so deadly. It's putting every U.S. citizen under more control, where you're not going to have any control over your health choices. But the people that sell the cure for herpes can't tell you what it does. So in order to beat them at their own game, I'm an author. I don't sell the cure. I have no financial interest in it. If people buy it, I don't make a penny. But I can write a book, and I can tell people in the book, this is, in my opinion, the cure for herpes, and here's where you buy it. Now, that's not breaking the law, because that's protected by the First Amendment. Because I'm doing this...
Well, since when does that matter?
This is why the government is so after me.
Well, because you're threatening the profits of their buddies.
What I've done is I figured a way around it. Because now I can tell people what the cure for herpes is.
It doesn't
Somebody
matter how you tell them. They don't want you telling them.
Well,
you know,
don't,
it doesn't,
but
it doesn't matter how you tell them.
To educate the people and get people the information.
Well,
I'm giving the stuff away for free, it's perfect.
Well, I'm glad you're, going up against a man. But the thing is that I want to bring this up before we go, too. Two things. I'll get into this other thing later. But the one thing I did want to bring up that we could see in our culture, there is evidence of us as human beings being hardwired to rebel against these kinds of controls, to support the very essence of what it is to be a human and advance ourselves, to evolve, to do better, to advocate for individual liberty, this kind of stuff. And I'll give you an example. When you go and you look at the blockbusting movies, I mean, these are the huge, oh my goodness ones. There is always a thread, a single thing that binds them together. And I'm talking like Braveheart, Gladiator, Matrix, Patriot, these kinds of V for Vendetta. I mean, these kinds of movies that are the blockbusters that have one thing in common. It's always the individual against the collective. It's always that one person that say, because there's always the one. There's always the one, because they make every effort they can to try and keep everybody down. But when you're doing that with 6 billion people, you're always going to have someone that will get noticed for standing up because everyone else is on their knees. And I'm going, where does this happen? How far do they have to go? What is it that they have to do in order to be that kind of threat? Well, you can see it in contemporary news right now. I mean, you certainly have, like Kevin, you get a lot of attention. We have Ron Paul is a perfect example. You have different people that are doing this kind of thing of freeing and empowering individual behavior. And what this shows you is, in spite of all the controls, in spite of all the television, in spite of all the public education, in spite of all the television commercials for take whatever color of pill for whatever ailment you got, do you feel bad? Are you depressed? Does the economy got you down? Are you homeless? Are you sitting there, well, gosh darn it, we got a pill that makes you don't care. Okay? So I'm going, wow. Well, what happens is, it shows that there is a market, that people vote with their cash, that they go to a movie and they support the concept of the individual rising up against the collective. And I'm going, all right, that gives me hope. That shows me that fire, that spark is still there. Do you feel a threat of that being extinguished? Are they attempting to?
Well, what you described is the innate nature of man as a being. And that is what is systematically being taken away from us, primarily through vaccinations, fluoride in the water, the chemicals being put in the chemtrails, into the air, the pharmaceutical drugs that we take every single day. It was just reported last week that the pharmaceutical companies secretly have been putting a plastic compound in all non-prescription and prescription drugs. It was just reported last week.
Yeah, we had something on Freedom's Phoenix about that. Go ahead and tell us about it.
And this particular compound, one of the side effects, actually the main side effect of taking it, is it, quote, feminizes men. Now, let me tell you what that defined is. It turns men, it reduces their muscle mass, increases the amount of fat they have in their body.
Turns them into a woman.
Makes them more docile, makes them less aggressive, and makes them more lethargic. So basically what it's doing is it's making a man less interested in protecting and less interested in taking action and initiative.
This it turns you. Turns you into a woman. But you know, we're going to count on a lot of times. It's the women that save us throughout history. And, you know, behind every great man is a strong woman. Pushing the man, saying, "Get on it." Well, that's what you know. I know my wife does that very thing. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Talk about it some more.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, let's rumble here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, that's what it's coming down to. I tell you, you know, I'm going to do a big show. It's been like probably 5 weeks since I changed my diet. I've been doing a lot more juicing, you know, that's carrots and apples, Granny Smith and kale. And so I've been doing it. A friend of mine was on the Gerson diet. They sent him home to die, you know, with his cancer. And all of a sudden, this last summer, a year later, he's doinging around in British Columbia on the mountains, a bunch of us up there. And he's like, yep, I'm cured. And I said, well, let's get them boys on the air. So I had them come on. I went in and tried it. I'm not all religious about it, but, you know, I've been following it pretty good. You get me probably 10 meals a week at the very least, probably more than that, maybe 11, 12 meals a week. I do just juices and my wife puts it in front of me. Boom. I down it. I don't even think about food for 5-6 hours. It's the most amazing thing. And it's just curing you from the inside. It's just, you know, just nutrition. And I tell you, one of the biggest things is I've noticed is I'm more awake. You know, I have like what you're talking about. I'm feeling more, more sensitive to the injustices. I get my manhood back. And the one thing is that if you're just getting nutrition, it's really just, not only does it heal you, but it just replaces a meal that normally you would be poisoning yourself with crap. I mean, just if you just fasted, you would be better off. So I can see the power of nutrition, the power of not just nutrition for your body, but for your mind, and not just what you put in, but how you think, what you make yourself susceptible to. And an entire generation of young people are coming. I've seen this because I've been involved the last couple of years in the Lovevolution. You know, we started that here in Phoenix. I deal primarily a lot of my activism and so on. And a lot of us old salts are dealing with the guys in their 20s, and these kids, they are different than we were because they interact in a two-way method using the internet. They are informing each other. They argue, they debate, they sift through all this information that's out there, and they'll do the same thing with this show. They'll do some more research. They'll check on things. They'll hear Kevin on another show. He's doing the battle. Long term, they'll put that way in the back of their cortex, and they'll just wait. And then a couple of months, couple of years, couple of decades later, it all builds in to give them a world view on what's happening. And that's where I want to go next, Kevin. The one thing that I want to know is whenever this, we talked about this before a little bit briefly, but whenever we get into, when it's starting to fall, you know, whatever empire, you know, it's a Russian Empire, you have the Roman Empire, the British Empire, there will be some manifestation of the will of the people in some legislative body or something, or a guy that for years, even decades, was part of it. And then all of a sudden comes out and says, I'm for the people. I'm for, you know, follow me. And they create another collective or another group or advocacy or special interest or new political party of labor or non-labor or whatever it is in the British Parliament or wherever it happens to be, or America comes out. And then they follow them. They create a new government. They push the other guys out, and everybody forgets that this guy was part of the problem back in the day to begin with, and they just changed who was behind the lever of power or wearing the ring of power and never challenged the ring itself. So that's where I want to ask, because here you come out of this, you know, a wealthy individual, big influence, bucking the man. But, you know, you're still, I don't know how much a part of that you were, but, you know, what are we looking at in the future that you're advocating? Are you advocating a new ring, you know, to fix the ring, do away with the ring? What is it do you feel is a solution?
Well, I think the solution is, and I've been asked this question before, because being a member of the Brotherhood and being so intimately involved at the inner circle level, some people say, well, you know, are you really giving us, you know, powerful information? Well, I think so, because I'm not asking people to vote for a particular person or follow me in any way. What I'm doing is I'm saying, follow your own feelings. Here's how you actually become more empowered and less susceptible to suggestion and less controllable. And you choose your own path. I'm not telling a person what to think. I would suggest, however, that in politics, you have two parties, which is really one party. Democrats and Republicans are the same. So I would suggest that when you go to the polls, never vote for an incumbent. That's number one. But never vote for a Democrat or Republican. And there is so rare exception. Dr. Paul, for example, is a huge exception to that. But still, it's better to vote for somebody who's not a part of the parties. Therefore, you're getting somebody who's not under the influence of the controllers of the party. So that's number one. Number two, you vote with your dollars. Try not to buy things from large multinational corporations. Particularly, don't buy drugs anymore. You don't need drugs. That's what the whole Natural Cures book and my website, naturalcures.com, is all about. There is a non-drug alternative to everything that ails you. It works, and they work better than drugs with no side effects. People are misled, so stay away from drugs. Stay away from fast food. Don't buy things from Coca-Cola or Pepsi. You want to go buy your bottled water? See who owns the company. So I suggest that people spend their dollars with local vendors, local companies, with, you know, where you know the owners, or at least it's locally grown, you know, produce. You can't do that all the time. If you got to buy some sneakers, you know, nobody in America makes sneakers anymore. They're made in China. So you're going to have to buy it from some big multinational corporation. I understand that. But do the best you can, and even little changes will make absolutely huge differences. Heck, instead of going to Starbucks, go to a locally owned coffee shop that has free trade coffee. I mean, that's a huge difference, and makes, I think, a big difference in how you feel, also energetically, and at society in general. I think that's going to change things.
You know, the one thing, you look at this local produce, this is a good argument. This is one thing we had a long discussion, me and some friends at a camping. We were out for a couple weeks, and this was a lot of different groups of us. We were talking about this very thing, and I'll tell you, they never, as from a liberal perspective, they never look at the economics of it and see that the subsidizing of petroleum and the subsidizing of corn and the subsidizing of farming and the subsidizing of all this stuff is what guarantees that a locally grown small farm cannot compete with these subsidized industries. Arthur Daniel Midland, that gets their gasoline subsidized, it gets their farm subsidized, it gets the corn, the product that they have subsidized, that, you know, is growing, you know, genetically modified, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's just, I'm going, look, if you just get government out of the way, all of these things, economics will just start to solve it on its own. And it never, what they want is like, well, they're getting the subsidy. We need to subsidize this and in order to control that and try and socially and economically engineer people in this way, in that way. And that's why I ask, when you say things like, well, you know, you shouldn't vote for the left jackboot or the right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat party. We need to vote for somebody else. And it never brings up the question of, you're still voting? You know, we have this elect to think that they would do all the things that, you know, the big bad guys are doing. For some reason, you would think that they wouldn't be manipulating the election computers when it gives them access to tens of trillions, hundreds of trillions of dollars. Is just to be naive. What's your comment?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people always wonder about, you know, should you vote or not. I don't have an option. I'm a convicted felon, so I can't vote.
You're freed.
However, the people that are our elected officials do have some influence, and I don't think you can change things overnight. I think changing with the dollar, where you buy things, is the biggest way to change. However, you know, Stalin said it, and I think you're probably going down this road. Stalin said it doesn't make a difference who you vote for. All that matters is who's counting the votes. However, when you do vote, and when you vote for an independent person, a libertarian or whatever, somebody who's not a Democrat or Republican, you choose, you're not throwing away that vote. What you're really doing is you're upping your frequency energetically from a wish or a desire. When you take action and vote in a different way, the amount of energy that you put out into the field is astronomical. And this is what's going to help get us to reach the tipping point. It's always energetic first. There's a great book about this called The 100th Monkey Syndrome. And people should read that book, and they'll understand when enough people make it not just a thought, but make a decision to do something, even though they think it's not going to help, but it is dramatically different than the norm, you reach a point energetically where everything shifts. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's valuable to do.
Well, my opinion is this. That shifting is towards stop supporting the beast that's devouring you. That's why they put so much effort into getting you to rock the vote, because it takes away all their justification for existence or legitimacy when they're not. They go in Yugoslavia, they want to rebuild democracy there after Kosovo and so on, and they start vote. They cancel the vote because only 30% showed up. Heck, we'd be happy if that many showed up this time, because when they say out of a 1,000 people, out of 100 people, let's say, only 70-something percent of them are even eligible to register. Half of them actually register. Half of them actually vote. Just over half of them actually determine what happens. So you got between, 6 and 16% of the people determining everything for everyone. I market to the rest of the people. Like you say, you vote with your wallet. Are we going to use dollars? When we come back, we'll talk about that.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Ahead and tell you what's up, or you can start thinking for yourself. I tell you what, let's go ahead and start doing some thinking. I'm going to do some hardcore thinking here in the last segment here with Kevin Trudeau. Kevin Trudeau's giving out some books. Go ahead. First, let's go ahead and give out your website so that they know where to go for those books there, Kevin.
Yeah, the free books are available at naturalcures.com. That's naturalcures.com. And that also shows you the links to some of the other websites as well that I have for the new program, Your Wish is Your Command, and my radio show as well. And all the information is available there. So naturalcures.com is the best place people can go.
And the herpes cure. Hey, you got herpes? Might want to be cured. This is the one thing I want to go in this final segment here. I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, a legislator called me, and she was very concerned about losing sovereignty, North American Union, the Amero, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, hey, man, they're going to go straight to the world. Who are we kidding? So what she wanted to do is, there anything a little old state legislator can do? Well, let me think about it. So my senior editor and I wrote up legislation. And what it was is, our centennial is coming up in 2012. And so what we say is, we go, you know what? They did this before for a 100-year centennial of us being a territory, a copper medallion. Let's put in legislation for our centennial in medallions to be produced as a, a disc shape, no more than 5 millimeters thick in the form of, it's a coin, okay? But you don't want to say coin or dollar or money or any of that kind of stuff. So we go, we got these pure gold medallions that are going to have the state of Arizona seal on one side and something on the other side, whatever, to be produced in sufficient quantity to supply all public demand, and be pure gold, and not to exceed 1 ounce medallions in plural, so they can have various denominations. Well, that passed overwhelmingly, and even Janet Napolitano signed it into law. So now we're going, okay, well, this is a way that, you know, as they go blah, blah, blah about whether a state can create their own gold and silver or not, boom, done. There it is. Done. Done, 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 done. Now what? Well, the thing is that all this state sovereignty thing is coming up. I get called from another senator. They say, you know, we're interested in some kind of a currency. Can we do that? There's this bank in North Dakota that has their own state bank. They're not having the kind of problems everybody else does. Montana and North Dakota are doing okay. Can we do something like this? Because Arizona is in the worst financial state of any state in the union, including California per capita. We are screwed. Well, what happens is, you know, the federal government's going to wave a carrot for you. Want some of this stimuli money? Huh? Well, then you're going to have to do what we want, like declaring vaccine emergencies or some crap like that. So we're going, okay, we got a beat on y'all. Well, what we want to do is I said, you want to have some kind of an impact on currency? All you need to do is to take away any restrictions on bartering or trade. Don't tax it. There will be no state tax on trading things of value for value. Regardless of what it is, paper don't mean nothing. Yeah, you want to tax on Federal Reserve notes, knock yourself out. You want to do trade on Craigslist, or you want to trade, you know, chickens or eggs for brain surgery or whatever, knock yourself out. I go, you take away the restriction on bartering and trade, or the government would even be able to offer as an option payment of employees or debts in these medallions or gold or what, anything to legalize competition with the Federal Reserve notes on a state level. And you will see a dramatic change. So, do you advocate eliminating our stranglehold they have on us through legal tender laws? I mean, you can see just from this concept, this idea, oh, you think they're coming after you. Oh, the big bad guys are going to come in after Arizona. They do something like this.
Well, what you said is 100% correct. And certainly barter is an excellent way to maneuver in the business world. And if state governments do as you say, by taking restrictions off barter, then that's going to be very helpful. But, you know, from a practical standpoint, people come up to me all the time and say, what's the best thing that I should do, to protect myself or to kind of get off out of this stranglehold? And my response annoys a lot of people. I say, just make a few million dollars. If you got plenty of money, even if it's fiat currency, it doesn't matter. Because if you have enough cash, you can buy hard assets, gold and silver. I have two of my friends in the last 6 months. One bought $8 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion worth of hard gold. The other guy followed up and bought $5 billion. So there's a lot of guys out there at the highest levels who are taking their hard assets, their asset base, and putting it into hard currency. The reason is that asset can be used as collateral on bank financing, which is what they've done. They've taken the hard asset, then financed it at a very low interest rate, figuring that inflation is going to kick in the next couple of years, and they'll be paying back those dollars cheap. They'll probably make 50% on their money just on that. Plus, they'll have the increased valuation of the gold. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that people can do. But I think number one, and this is why my new program, Your Wish is Your Command, is so important. People shouldn't worry. They should laugh a little bit more, and they should basically understand that they are going to create their own reality and their own destiny. Take charge and have an absolutely fabulous, wonderful, wonderful life. There may be chaos around us. There may be a storm around us. But, you know, you have an umbrella, and it doesn't have to really affect you that much.
You know, the one thing I want to emphasize that we're all about the love-olution. And the thing is that I'm not that worried. When you worry, it's just a sign that you need to do something. Then you do it, so you don't worry anymore. I sleep well. And it's because, you know, I need to add some skills to my life. Like, oh, let's see. I live in the middle of Phoenix, and I have 6 chickens in the backyard. You know, whoop, got eggs all the time. Everybody's wanting that. We got other friends. It inspires them. They get chickens. We got chickens coming all over the place. Then we start gardens. We get heirloom seeds. We start going, you know, the seed bank, you know, advertises on Freedom's Phoenix. They have a great little package that we do. We're trying to get them out as a Christmas gift and hanging on a tree because we love you. I want you not to starve. So the thing is that, yeah, and I encourage you to go to the freedomsphoenix.com. You see the seed bank there. At least get one of those things, you know, an acre of food. You know, that's a good idea. And what happens is we take this information, and that is of enormous value, and I try to encourage my children to learn skills that are going to serve them in the world that I think is coming. And I tell you, it's not going to be based on finances and services. It's going to be based on people that can actually produce things that included things that keep you alive, food, shelter, clothing, transportation. I mean, you know, can you fix a car that's broke? This is basic stuff. If you take that kind of advice, then you're going to be okay. You're going to be way head and shoulders above everybody else that's out there looking for their next Campbell soup can. So I'm going, I'm glad that you focusing on the positive aspects, but I tell you, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to be looking at it this way, and they're going to be starving in the streets. What do you think is going to happen?
You're exactly right. But you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine a couple days ago, and he said, "Doesn't it worry you? Doesn't it concern you that all these Americans are taking the swine flu vaccine, knowing how deadly it is, knowing that it's causing neurological damage, knowing that it's potentially causing infertility? Doesn't that worry you?" I go, "Let me tell you something. I'm not going to take the swine flu vaccine. Nobody in my family is. None of my close friends are. And if somebody is informed about how deadly it is, and they choose to go get the swine flu vaccine,
it's a Darwin thing.
I encourage them to take a double dose, just to be sure. Because if they're that stupid, you know, seriously, there's nothing I can do for the guy."
Well, think about it. You know, now we're getting in. You know, I got to ask you this, being, buds with the Brotherhood, it's kind of an offshoot of the Bilderberger thing. You can tell me about that in just a minute. But, the thing is, they're kind of, we need to just call away a big giant portion of the herd here, and we'll kind of amp that up a little bit with some action on our part. We'll get down and get rid of all the stupid people. You know, tell us about that and what your little organization is about.
Well, the Bilderberg Group is the European and North American kind of controlling elite. There's other groups over in Asia as well, but the Bilderberg Group and all the top elite have always said that there's two classes in the world. There's those that are the elite class and everyone else. The elite class, according to them, are genetically designed to rule over everyone else who is basically slave labor, in effect. But in that group, that there are those that are just, according to the elite, I'm not saying this, by the way, I'm reporting what is being said. They believe that there's so many people out there that are just genetically inferior that they should be culled, or the population over the next 30 to 50 years should be reduced dramatically. This goes back, this eugenics concept is not new. It was publicly embraced by Henry Ford and Ted Turner, many, many people. So it's something that people need to be aware of.
And what do you think?
Well, I think what people need to do is, if they're aware of this, that's going to hopefully open their eyes to what and how evil the elite class is and what the real end game is. And if they know, then they can make the choices and the decisions to free themselves and keep society free as well.
And it's why we always expand. And you know what's expansive? Space! We're going to space, and the government is not invited. Hey, Kevin, thanks for coming on, man. Go ahead and give out. It's
naturalcures.com. I'm giving all my books away for free. It's a limited time. Naturalcures.com.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Your wish is your command.
Thanks for coming on, man. Naturalcures.com. We'll see you.